Les colloques du Collège de France.
So we have now four papers. Antonin is going to start. It's going to be 25 minutes per paper, and we are very excited to have the four coming speakers. So Antonin, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Alexandre and Philippe. So this is Lost in Transition. It's a paper with Philippe, Martin, and John. Everyone is in the room today, so it's quite exciting. And it's about a question of transition to from old to new technologies, and particular case of a transition from dirty to green technologies. And we think of this transition, think of like typewriters to computer, for example, as having reshaped the long-run development of technology for advanced economy. And they're usually started by some general purpose innovation or consumer preferences or policies that will generate a start of the transition and a boom in how many firms are going to switch to this this technology. And at the same time, if you want the transition to happen, you need a lot of investment, a lot of complementary innovation to be done for the transition to materialize. So we need firms to start to switch or to start to produce with the new technology. And then the concern is that any disruption that will occur and that will disincentivize firms to invest into these new technologies will slow down the transition. And that's exactly the setting we are looking at. And more precisely, we are asking, what is the role of financial crisis in affecting firms' incentive and ability to invest in R&D during the transition? And the particular setting we're going to consider is the following. This is the share of green patents in total patents in the economy, worldwide, sorry. And it raised, as you can see, from about 5% during the decade 1990s. Then the transition started after the end of the 90s, up to 10%. And then the financial crisis started to kick in. And that is correlated with a slowdown in the diffusion of this green innovation and a plateau in the share of green patents around 10 to 12%. Okay, so we were asked a question on whether we can relate this type of financial crisis to the slowdown in green innovation that you see. And our framework is not going to have any assumption on the fact that financing green or non-green technology would be different in terms of the cost of financing. We only make two assumptions. The first one is that young firms are more financially constrained than old firms, which is probably not very controversial. And the second one is that innovation is directed and path dependent. So it's cheaper to invest into technologies for which you have accumulated expertise. And with those two assumptions, we'll be able to generate the type of mechanism that you saw in the previous graph. The idea is that young firms, because they are not affected by past dependency, they endogenously have a comparative advantage into investing in new technologies as opposed to the old technologies, where incumbent firms who have invested in the past into this old technology will benefit from the past dependency that they have accumulated from their past expertise. But that because young firms are more financially constrained, if there is a crisis that occurs, they will be more affected negatively in their ability to invest into innovation. And because they have more incentives to invest into the new technology, then the financial crisis will endogenously affect the transition if it occurs at a timing where young firms are responsible for most of the innovation into the new technology. And so the general lesson from that is that if you tighten financial constraints at a time where there is a transition to a new technology, that could be quite costly. And that's precisely what happened if we think that the beginning of the transition toward green technology started around the end of the 90s, and then the financial crisis occurred, right, just 10 years after that. So what we do in this paper, and I'm not going to have the time to show everything, so let me just quickly explain. We have a few facts that will be supporting our main mechanism. In particular, two facts are going to be important. The first one is that young firms indeed innovate more in young technologies than old firms. The share of, if you look at who is innovating in those technologies that are started to boom, you will see a higher share of young firms. We also saw that young firms are less prevalent in the total number of patents filed after the great financial crisis. And the second motivating fact is that the patenting rate of young technologies was more affected than all technologies after the global financial crisis. Okay, so we need those three ingredients to generate our main mechanism. Then we have a Schumpeter and Gross model with young and old technologies, and of course, past dependency and financial constraint that will give us an equilibrium that that we can then use to build simulation into what happens when there is a financial crisis. And finally, we'll use also microevidence from German data, where we show using a quasi-natural experiment that using firm bank links, that firms that are connected to banks more affected by great financial crisis reduce their innovation, particularly for green innovation, and all the more that they are young firms. Okay, so let me start with the very quickly the modeling fact that I mentioned. So this is using patent data from the USPTO in the US. This is the age of a technology in reverse in the x-axis. Okay, so it's the number of years since the technology started to develop in terms of the number of patents, zero being the starting year. And the y-axis is the share of those patents in this technology that is done by young firms. And by young firms, I mean a firm that has innovated less than 10 years for the first time, 10 years ago for the first time. Okay, and so there is this positive relationship, meaning that if you take a technology that is very young, on the right or the right of this graph, you see a higher share of young innovator, young firm. Then if you look at the time series of the share of young firms in total patents, that's not looking at specific technologies, okay, this is for the whole universe of USPTO patents, those young firms, so this share showed a big decline right after the financial crisis from about 6 to 7 percentage points. Okay, and that's about 18% of the total number of young firms that was around 40% before the great financial crisis in terms of the share of patent they were fighting. And you could think that this is a general story about the fact that there's less and less young firms after great financial crisis. And it's actually not the case if you look at the share of firms less than 10 years old in the economy, whether you look at firms or weighted by employment, you don't see any decline right after the great financial crisis. Okay, so it's something that is specific to patents. And finally, our third fact is a bit more complicated to get at, but basically what we do is that we take every CPC, every technology, we forecast the number of patents that we would expect from this logistic curve of diffusion, just looking at the very beginning of the transition, and then we forecast the future. Okay, and what is plotted is the difference between our forecast and the actual number of patents that are filed in this technology during year T. And we run this event study where we measure the gap between the forecast and the actual number of patents observed on a dummy variable that is equal to 1 if the technology is young. And what you see is that right after the great financial crisis, there is a lower, a more negative gap that start to appear, which means that our forecast is getting worse and worse in terms of predicting the share of patent that will be filed in these technologies, all specifically if the technology is young. And we interpret this as an evidence that for a young technology, the great financial crisis slow down the transition, slow down the natural logistic dynamic of the diffusion of this technology. So with those three facts, we built our Schumpeter model, which is to some you know, some aspect quite standard. The households have log utility for consumption. It's based on Clayton Quartum 2004, so there is this continuum of good, and there is a number of firms, higher firms, share goods. They can produce one or multiple of them. They innovate, and when they innovate, they randomly draw an existing product and increase the quality of this product by a fixed step size. The difference that we introduce in this setting is that a given product can be produced with two different technologies, either a clean technology or a dirty technology. Okay, which means that if we want to measure total outputs, it's the sum of the quality weighted quantity produced by each product, but summing across the two different ways you can produce this technology, so clean and dirty. So H here is going to be to be indexing the type of technology used to produce a given good. Okay, and as usual, we'll assume that firms compete a la Bertrand and use limit pricing. So demand goes to the firm that has the highest or the lowest quality adjusted price, meaning that in fact, a given good is going to be only produced by one firm either using a clean or a dirty technology. And the firm will direct its innovation toward one or the two type of production. And how does it work exactly? If you look at the production function, we keep it quite simple to make our point. We'll assume that if you decide to produce with a clean technology, you only need labor, and the production function is going to be linear in labor. Okay, so to produce good I with technology, good J with technology C, which is a clean technology, you only have one unit of labor to produce one unit of output. If you decide to produce with a dirty technology, then you need two inputs. You need labor, but you also need another input that we call O. So think of oil or any dirty input. And those are complementary with this Cobb-Douglas production function, meaning that the static optimization gives us this very nice feature that the marginal cost of production would be only equal to the wage if you use the clean technology. And it will be equal to a wage times a parameter that will be a measure of the relative cost of carbon with respect to labor that we denote P0 tilde. And we don't make at this stage any stance on whether P0 tilde is larger than one or lower than one, but what you can see is that deciding to produce with one or the other technology is going to affect your marginal cost. Then we have the kind of natural and usual dynamic in this model. So firms decide how much to innovate. And if they invest into R&D, there is a Poisson arrival rate, and with some probability they get a patent, and they increase the quality of a randomly drawn product by a fixed step size lambda. The novelty that you have is that usually you think that the innovation cost decline in the total stock of products of the firm, but here, because there are two ways of producing, either with clean or dirty technology, we make the following assumption. There is path dependency in the direction of firm's R&D. So how much the likelihood that you will successfully innovate will be related to how many R&D workers you hire in a specific technology H, but interacted with the NH, which is the number of product that you currently produce with this specific technology H. So if you have a large number of products that you are producing with a dirty technology, N dirty is going to be large, meaning that you don't need to invest so much into R&D to get at a given probability to innovate. Whereas if you don't have a lot of clean products, you need to invest much more in R&D in order to get at a higher probability to innovate. And that's how we model this path dependency. And there's evidence of that in the literature, including a paper by John and Philip on the car industry. And that's why it's also going to be quite costly to implement the transition, because if you think that early on everyone is producing with dirty technology, then you really need to disincentivize continuing to innovate into this dirty technology, because N is going to be large for a lot of firms, and they will find the R&D cost function for dirty technology to be much less costly than starting to produce with clean technology. So what can be done to incentivize firms to invest into this technology, this clean technology? You can play with the parameter P0 tilde. If you think that this is the price of carbon, the relative price of carbon, you can, for example, think of a carbon tax that will raise the cost of producing, the marginal cost of producing with the dirty technology. And then there is a trade-off, because R&D costs will be lower if you have a huge stock of products made with the dirty technology, but then the marginal gain that you find to producing with the dirty technology again is going to be less and less large. But before I get to exactly how we move this P0 tilde, I need to talk to you about the financial cost of innovation, because the story will be about the disruption of the transition. So here we model financial constraint in the following way. We assume that firms will need to borrow to finance their R&D activities. And a firm I can only invest up to a fraction of its total revenue. Because of the Cobb-Douglas aggregator, the revenue is quite easy to write. It's just a function of the size of the firm. And we said that the firm can only invest up to a share theta I, theta t, times its total revenue. Theta I will be an idiosyncratic firm-specific parameter that will measure exactly how much a specific firm will be impacted by credit constraint, while theta t is the aggregate state of financial constraint in the economy. Okay. And then what happened is that theta I, we are going to assume that it's going to move stochastically with a Poisson rate that is either increasing theta or decreasing theta. And the assumption we are making is that the probability that this theta I increase will reduce as you grow up, as you age, which means that young firms are more likely to be financially constrained than young firms, than old firms. So as the firm becomes older, this parameter theta I is going on average to be much larger. We then close the model with you know, a set of usual labor market clearing conditions. This is total innovation. That is the sum of incumbent innovation in the clean technology, in the dirty technology, and then there is also entry that I don't really have time to tell you about, but basically growth rate will be, as usual, just the total number of innovation times the step size. Okay, so we have, you know, this huge Bellman equation, and we saw that the balance growth path. And this is the solution we have from the dynamic optimization. The innovation in product I for in the technology H is going to be related to the value of producing with this technology divided by the cost of labor times a parameter MI that is measuring the financial constraint for these firms, multiplied by NIH, which is the number of product that the firm owns with this specific technology H, again, measuring this path dependency. So if we first look at this value function V, this value function is obviously quite complicated, but it's going to be depending on the markup that the firm can charge on a specific good. And this markup, because of the limit pricing assumption that we're making, will be equal to the step size times the relative price of carbon if you're producing with a clean technology and you are replacing someone that was producing with a dirty technology. Because you're going to price at the marginal cost of your competitor, right? So this is the markup you're gaining. On the contrary, you're pricing with a dirty technology, but you are facing a competitor that is pricing with a clean technology, then you get a lower markup. And so the value function is going to increase when P0 tilde is going to increase, right? So the value function into clean innovation is going to increase when P0 is going to increase because the markup you gained from producing with a clean technology will be higher. Okay, so that's why firms will be more incentivized to innovate into the clean technologies when we increase P0 tilde. But of course, there is the other effect that path dependency will play a big role. So if you have a huge stock of product in a given technology, you're still more incentivized to produce with this technology. And then the last thing is that if you're highly financially constrained, there is just so much you can invest into R&D. Okay, so these integrate all our three ingredients of our story. Well, we close the model, as I told you. And before I show you how we play with this model, let me just give you, in 1 minute, our empirical results using microdata. So this is using German data on a set of firms that we can match to bank. And in particular, we look at firms that are matched to Commerzbank as treated firms, because Commerzbank was particularly strongly affected by the financial crisis. So we think that being matched to Commerzbank before the GFC is kind of random, at least in terms of how likely you are to do green innovation. But then the great financial crisis hits, Commerzbank was more exposed to the subprime in the US, and so reduced the supply of credit by much more than other German banks. So if you're connected to Commerzbank before the great financial crisis, we think in terms of the model that the theta T, the general tightening of credit is going to be higher for you. And we can run this difference in different estimation, and this is the share of green pattern that we see for treated firms compared to non-treated firms. And this is what we find when we look at non-green patents. No effect, but you can see that after 2014, there is a decline in the share of green, in the number of green patents that are produced by firms that are connected to Commerzbank. And so the delay is because it takes time to produce patent. Also, the cut in the supply of credit is not immediate, so it takes a bit of time. I will show you the time series in 2 seconds. But just before that, I just wanted to emphasize that the effect is also stronger for young firms if you interact it to being exposed to Commerzbank in terms of how much green innovation they can do. So let me show you exactly, let me get to your question. So we calibrate the model using pre-GFC data on the German economy. We use, you know, a bunch of usual targets to get at the parameters. And one of the things that we are trying to match is this. So this is the tightening of credits measured by the ECB lending standard. Okay, so it's not immediate after the great financial crisis 2008. It takes a bit of time for the credit tightening to reach its maximum, and then it goes back to the initial equilibrium very quickly. So this is something that we match with our model. And so we basically move these theta parameters, the large theta parameter, to match this this tightening time series. And then what we do is that we keep all the parameters the same, all the parameters calibrated in pre-GFC data. And the only thing we change is this P0 tilde. So we are going to increase progressively P0 tilde using two targets. The first thing is the speed of the increase in P0 tilde. And for that, we use the time series I showed you early, the share of green patterns before the GFC. We try to match exactly the increase in the green patent that we find from 1990 to the Great Financial Crisis. That gives us the speed at which P0 tilde will increase. And then we need also to know what is the time horizon and what is the objective. So we fix the objective of 65% reduction on total emission of CO2. That's one of the objectives of the Paris agenda. And that gives us a 31-year horizon, I think. And that's the result. So this is the share of green patent that we find. So the Great Financial Crisis is going to hit much more young firms that were at this stage more prevalent into innovating with green technology. And compared to the dashed line, which is what would happen without a financial crisis in our model, we do see that there is an important deviation that match qualitatively what we see in the data in terms of the share of green patents. The data seems to have a more persistent negative effect. And that's because, you know, we think that indeed it takes time to implement technologies. And so probably the effect is much longer than what we can predict with our model. But we do still see a deviation from a world, a counterfactual world, without any financial crisis. And, you know, we don't think that a counterfactual world without financial crisis necessarily makes sense. But what we can do is do the following counterfactual, and that will be my last slide. What would have happened if the crisis, instead of starting in 2008, would have started in 2013? Because in many ways, you know, our story is really much a story about bad timing. The crisis hit right at the time where the green transition was still pushed by young firms that turned to be more negatively impacted by the Great Financial Crisis. So if the GFC would have started 5 years after, there will be a lower share of young firms pushing the transition toward green technology, because P0 tilde would have been increased much more, so that some incumbents, some large incumbents, will start to switch to green technology. So that's the deviation from the no-shock counterfactual with the crisis in 2008, and that's what we will have with the crisis in 2013. So much less negative impact during the transition in terms of the green innovation that is produced by the economy. Obviously, ultimately, everything goes back to the same equilibrium. It's just that during the transition, there is a lot of CO2, a lot of accumulated pollution that has been emitted because firms slow down their production of green technology.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.